So I'm going to stop there and see if there are any questions.
So when you see the difference between primaries and metastases, what's your opinion then on testing, right? So you want to have baseline testing on everybody to find microsatellite instability, et cetera, but do you then, in your practice, look further down the line?
Right, so that's a great question. And the question that arises, or reading between the lines, is, when do these mutations occur? Are they occurring in the primary, but those patients are more likely to then develop mets? Or is it that they are sometimes not found in the primary and they are then acquired in the metastatic clones? And the only way you can answer that is by taking the same patient and doing a paired biopsy of the primary site and a metastatic site several years later and looking for concordance or discordance, for example, in BRCA2 or ATM. And those types of studies are hard to do because they require multiple biopsies, although they don't have to be done synchronously. And the long story short is that most of these BRCA1, BRCA2, and even ATM mutations are early truncal events that are present in the primary and are not necessarily acquired over time in the metastatic clone. So the prevailing hypothesis right now is that if you find a BRCA mutation in the met, it was probably there in the primary. So if you don't have a met and all you have is a primary and you do the sequencing on that, you'll find 95% of them.
What if you take a step outside of the DNA damage repair pathway? What about other mutations in prostate cancer, for instance, in the androgen receptor? And would you recommend, to Dr. Bendell's question, repeat testing in the context of acquired resistance and those types of scenarios?
Right, so you raise a very important issue. And unlike the case with DNA repair mutations, AR alterations become more and more prevalent with time, and they become more and more prevalent with the increasing number and types of prior hormone therapies. So in a patient who has received, let's say, one androgen deprivation therapy, he may or may not have an AR mutation. Some of them will have AR amplification. Some of them might have AR splicing variants like AR-V7. By the time you've received the second-line hormone therapy, let's say abiraterone, third-line hormone therapy like enzalutamide, the chance of finding an AR amplification is about 70% to 80%. The chance of finding an AR mutation, which activates the ligand binding domain, which causes promiscuous activation by other ligands other than testosterone, is high. And the chance of getting these constitutively active splicing variants, which do not even require the ligand to stimulate transcription of genes, also goes up. So that's a very important consideration. And the good thing is you can do that very nicely from liquid biopsies.